Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. That's the full verse from the entrance antiphon for this Mass. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. The removal, the editing of the line, your kindness should be known to all, is rather unfortunate this morning. So I decided we would add it back in for the homily. Rejoice in the Lord always. This Sunday is called Gaudete Sunday. It means rejoice. It's the reason that instead of the normal purple of Advent, I am wearing rose. And there's an obligatory joke every year that priests have to say that we're not wearing pink, we're actually wearing rose. So let me just point out, I'm not wearing pink, I'm wearing rose. You can laugh a little about it, and now we move on. Your kindness shall be known to all. When you go into somebody's house, or when you go into your own house, or your living room, or look at your phone, the pictures that you have will tell you something about what's important, won't they? I don't have children or pets, so I take pictures of food, usually. My phone is filled with either pictures of meals that I've had, or of my 2-year-old goddaughter, and that's really about it. But if you go into houses, if you look around your house, if you look around your phone, if you look around anywhere else where you might keep pictures, the pictures are going to tell you something about what's important, about what might be meaningful to you. The pictures are going to tell you something about what you think is particularly important, about which relationships are particularly important, about which models or which religious scenes are particularly important. And there's a picture hanging in my office that hung in my office in Salisbury and hung in my office in Greensboro. And it's a picture of Ambrose, the great 4th century bishop, fully vested, sitting at his desk with scrolls and books around him. And one of the staff of my first parish looked at that picture and said, "Oh, Father, that so reminds me of you, so very studious," because at that time I would sit at my desk all the time and read. And I said, "No, it's probably because I'm the only priest you know who would sit at his desk fully vested." The bishop has all of his vestments on. Ambrose, the great 4th century bishop whose window we have over here, was a government official before he was ordained a bishop. In fact, he was the imperial governor of Milan when he was about 30. This would be roughly equivalent to being the governor of California and the 6 states that surround it. Just to give you an idea of how talented an official Ambrose was. And so that might be a decent reason for me to have this portrait of Ambrose above my desk, because he was a great administrator. But then there's some more things. When the community in the area, when their bishop died and they said they needed to propose another candidate for bishop, Ambrose was the great government official, he was a great peacemaker, and so they said, "Well, let's propose Ambrose to be bishop." Here was the only problem, he wasn't baptized yet. So Ambrose, upon being acclaimed bishop of the Church of Milan, is baptized, ordained a deacon, a priest, and a bishop, all within 3 days. That's a meteoric rise in the hierarchy of the church. And so that might be a good reason to have a portrait of Ambrose, because he was this great leader. He was this great preacher of God's truth. Now, there might be another reason, too. There might be another reason for this particular portrait of Ambrose, this great bishop of the 4th century, to have a place in my office, actually right above my desk. And it's that Ambrose was never afraid to speak truth to power. When the emperor had slaughtered an entire village, Ambrose went to the doors of the cathedral, put his hand out, and said, "You will not come in." He would not allow the emperor to enter into the church because the emperor had shed innocent blood. He would not allow him even to join in divine worship. He had no fear of speaking truth to power. And that might be a great reason to have the portrait of Ambrose above my desk. But Ambrose also was one of the greatest preachers of the 4th century, one of the greatest expositors of the scriptures, one of the greatest teachers of the faith. And that might be a decent reason to honor St. Ambrose in a particular way, because the preaching of Ambrose was so enlightened, so beautiful, so well constructed, that a pagan professor of rhetoric, who was living in Milan at the time, decided that he would go and hear Ambrose preach. Not because he cared anything for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He would go and hear him preach because of the way he spoke. That he would go and hear him preach to hear how he structured his argument, how he presented everything, how he unveiled the mysteries of the faith. That's why the pagan professor of rhetoric, Aurelius Augustine of Tagaste, now known as Saint Augustine, went to hear Ambrose preach. He went to hear Ambrose preach because Ambrose was one of the most brilliant men of his time. He went to hear him preach because he was one of the greatest speakers that had ever appeared in the world. He was this great administrator. He spoke truth to power. All of these might be reasons for Augustine to go and hear Ambrose. Augustine, one of the greatest minds that the church will ever see. When he speaks and when he writes about Ambrose, one of the greatest minds that the church will ever see, he doesn't talk about what a great administrator he was. He doesn't talk about what a great preacher he was. He doesn't talk about how he spoke truth to power. Augustine says of Ambrose, "But what struck me most was his kindness, that he received me as a father receives a son." More than anything else, it was the kindness of Ambrose that gets a place above my desk. It was the kindness of Ambrose that gets a window in this church. It was the kindness of Ambrose that gets him a place on the church's liturgical calendar on December 7th. It was the kindness of Ambrose that inspires me and now you as we close out the days of Advent. The fruit of rejoicing is kindness. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Amen.